You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Hebrews 11. We've been on this for quite a while. Just the last few weeks, we've been teaching specifically on the faith of Moses, starting at Hebrews 11, verse 23, down through the 29th verse. Just that section of scriptures addresses Moses and his faith. And this is something we've just hammered in over and over on Wednesday nights about faith, about believing and trusting God. These men and women believe God. Yeah. Not rocket science. Are you with me? You don't have to be a genius to get this and figure this out. You and I just need to get in faith. We need to start trusting God and believing God. We need to ask ourselves, are we believing God? And I can tell you, if we're depressed, we're not believing God. If we're worried, we're not believing God. If we're anxious, we're not believing God. And we've all been there, and we're all going to have that challenge again in our life, and we'll probably have days that will happen. But we need to slap ourselves, as it were. Wake ourselves up. Yeah. Amen? You know, Brenna preached the other night in the ladies' meeting. She used the example of the old V8 commercial, you know, where somebody asked them if they got their vitamins or something like that, and they said, oh, I could have had a V8, you know. Now you see somebody slaps them and says, you could have had a V8. You know, often it's that way. I mean, we go through tragedy, we go through trial, we go through struggle, we start worrying, we get depressed, and you know what? We could have stood on a word. Yeah, right. We ought to hit ourselves and say, man, I could have believed God. I could have stood on the scripture. Amen? And that's what we need to learn to do. This is what separates people that pleased God from people that did not please God. This is what separates these people. This is what makes them icons and heroes and legends of the Bible, as it were. They believed God. They trusted God. And you can trust God, too. And it doesn't have anything to do with money. It doesn't have anything to do with your education. It doesn't have anything to do with the color of your skin. It doesn't have anything to do with what age you live in or what age you are. Are you with me? You can believe God. And believing God always pleases Him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that. So it says here, and we've actually gone over a lot of this, Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Commandments, you know, laws are to be obeyed as long as they're scriptural. Are you with me? As long as they're moral. We have an obligation to obey the law. Romans 13 talks about us obeying rulers and so on and so forth. Terry brought this out, even in a marriage situation, wives obey their husbands. That's all according to the Word, according to Scripture. In other words, if your husband asks you to do something unscriptural, you wouldn't do it. And if the law asks you to do something unscriptural, you're not supposed to obey it. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar said, bow down to this idol. And they said, no, we're not bowing down to that idol. And they didn't bow, they didn't bend, they didn't burn. Hallelujah. So you have examples all through the Bible. I think you ought to obey your parents in the Lord. But Saul asked Jonathan to kill David and asked him to give him up so he could kill him. And Jonathan wouldn't do it. Jonathan loved David. And so he disobeyed his dad, but he did the right thing. He did the scriptural thing and the holy thing because his father asked him to do something unscriptural, unholy, and unrighteous. Are you out there? So they didn't obey, and they weren't afraid. They knew if they obeyed God, they would be blessed, that God somehow would take care of them, and He did. By faith, 24th verse, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I love that. He refused to be identified by the world or identified with the world. Sometimes you have to do that same thing. You have to refuse to be identified with sin. Maybe you were raised up in it. Maybe your family was in it. Maybe your family wouldn't be considered, citizens of the year. Are you out there? God bless them, love them, pray for them. But your identity is more than just your natural family. It's more than your fleshly family. It's more than the state you were born in. Thank God for Texas. Thank God for being American. I'm an American. I'm a Texan. All the above. But first, I am a Christian. Yes. Are you with me? And it's not my whiteness that makes me who I am. It's not my blackness that makes me who I am. It's not my Hispanicness or my Spanishness, if that be a word, that makes me who I am. And see, in Christ, none of that matters. I mean, come on. And that's what gets us in trouble when we identify ourselves totally with our skin color. You can't do that. You're going down the wrong road when you go down there. It's wonderful to understand your heritage. It's wonderful. I think it's fascinating. I'm into genealogy, too. I've done a lot of research. You know, I love looking at some of that stuff and finding out what some of my ancestors did. Mine came from mainly Ireland and England over here, and I have relatives that fought in Alamo, and, well, I can trace relatives in the Revolutionary War and, you know, in battle after battle. That's all great and good, but I tell you who I am. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new. That's who I am. And see, when the devil comes knocking on my door, he doesn't care whether I'm white or black or Hispanic. He doesn't care whether I'm an American or a Mexican or a Canadian. Or, are you with me? He doesn't care. All he cares about is whether I got the name of Jesus or not. And if I'm born again and use the name of Jesus, that devil's got to go. And my identity has got to be tied up in Jesus. So it says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's a price to pay when you make those kind of stand. When you say you're a Christian, when you don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't tell dirty jokes, you don't hang out with that crowd, you don't dip, you don't chew, you don't go out with girls that do. Are you with me? Well, I mean, there's a price. There is a price. People call you odd, you know, because you don't party, as it were. Let me tell you something. You know, we talk about testimonies, and I hear that a lot, you know, about things I got delivered from. And, you know, at 19, I was saved, and I came out of a pretty wild lifestyle and drugs and all that, and been in jails and all those things, and not proud of those things. But the church many times promotes people like that, that come, maybe a movie star that got saved, and maybe a wild rock and roll guy that got saved, and they just put him on the pulpit and promote him and talk. And I think it's great. It shows the grace of God, no doubt. But someone who has never been in that has got a better testimony than someone's got delivered from it. Yes. Are you with me? Or out of it. I'd rather be delivered from something than out of something. Wouldn't you? I'm going to tell you, when I think of a great testimony, I think about Chris, my son. He's got a better testimony than I've got. He has known God all of his life. Since a little child, he's known the scripture, and from a little child, he's served God. Been in church all of his life. When I got saved, I'll tell you, the only drug problem he had was we drug him to church. We drug him to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We drug him to special meetings. We kept him out all night at church meetings and put him in school the next day, you know, and I don't know how he made it through school, because we stayed out late. My goodness, we went to Bible studies. We did that for years and then came up here and pastored the church. And our kids, that was mandatory. They had to be in church. You say, well, you can't make them do that. I did. I made them do that because I'm their daddy. When they grow up, they do what they want to. But if you raise them right, they'll do the right thing. But if they're in daddy's house, they obey daddy's rules. And it's real simple. If you don't obey the rules, you can go somewhere else. But as long as you're under my house... That's not mean. Stay with me. That's not hard. That's because I love them. And often kids will say, well, if you love me, you let me do this. No, I love you too much to let you do that. I love you too much to allow you to go with those other people, to hang out with those people. I love you way too much to allow it. I'd have to love you less to let you do that. Are you with me? And here I think about, you know, where I came out of. And I think of Chris, he served God all of his life. He's, you know, they'd call him the preacher in school. You know, he just lived holy and lived right. And now he's raising his kids to live holy and live right. And, man, the best testimony. There's no better testimony than to find out who you are as you grow up to be raised in a Christian home. Hallelujah. And serve God all your life. Man, what a legacy you can leave. I mean, think about it. What a heritage you have and what a legacy you can leave. So he chose rather to... suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And Moses went on to say, he esteemed the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. I won't want the praise of men if I got a compromise to get it. I'd rather them not think well of me if I'm serving Christ than for me to get in sin to get them to think well of me. Jesus said, woe be unto you when all men speak well of you. Think about it. That means if you serve God, there are going to be some people that disagree with you, don't like you. Are you out there? I've got lots of persecution within my family circle sometimes, even relatives sometimes, because of stands we've made with our children. You just don't let them do anything. You know, I've heard that over and over. You're just too hard. You're just a control freak. Oh, really? Well, they're all grown now and got kids and they're all serving God. I have no regrets. Are you with me? I have no regrets. Hallelujah. You will never regret making your kids serve God while they're in your house. You will never regret picking their friends, not letting them pick them. Stay with me. I mean, they do pick ones within parameters, within guidelines. They do pick them. But you need to put the law down, as it were, and say, you know, that you don't need to watch this, and you don't need to hang around this person, that person. And you're the mom and daddy. Listen, you're going to hold account to God for the way you raise your children. I will hold account to God for the way I pastor this church. Do you know that? And everyone that teaches in this church will hold account for what they taught. All of us hold account for what we share and what the example we live, the life we live. See, that puts it on another level, another plane altogether. It's not about what I can do and still be saved, what I can get away with and still be saved. I am an example. I am a witness. I am a role model. I will give account for not just what I got away with. I give account for how I influence people. What example I left for my children and my grandchildren and my friends and my relatives and the people I know, and brothers and sisters in Christ and so on. 27th verse, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured to see, and him was invisible. This is about where we got, I think, last time we owned this 27th verse. In life, if you're going to be a man or a woman of faith, you're going to have to learn what to refuse and what to choose. You're going to have to learn what to value or esteem and what to forsake, or you're never going to be much of anything in God. Because in life is a constant, it's a constant refusing and choosing. It's a constant valuing things, making things, looking at things and believe they're valuable and precious. And then it's a constant forsaking things that do not have value and that are not precious. This is what we see Moses did, and this had to do with his identity. This is who he was. Moses was not confused about who he was. He understood he was a Hebrew. He was a servant of God, in our case, children of God. So he didn't identify with Egypt. Are you with me? He understood that serving God, well, it brought some persecution, it brought some reproach, but he valued that approach. He thought that was more valuable by being sure and constant in his faith about who he is. The world is looking for someone with conviction. I want to tell you, the great presidents that we ever had are men that have had conviction, men that said things and stood by what they said and let the chips fall where they may. Even sometimes may not agreed with them, but you knew that they were going to hold true. They were going to do what they said. Are you with me? Those were presidents that you were proud of, that made stands and stood. Are you with me? And so, parents the same way, Christians the same way. We shouldn't be changing our doctrine every year and every 10 years. Are you with me? We shouldn't be changing marriages. And God's a forgiving God, and if you're married and been married before, the one you're with, you're stuck with. Stay there. Are you with me? I'm just saying over the long haul, you know, things don't always work out, and God's a forgiving God. Thank God he is. Hallelujah. But, you know, it's staying and standing. And if you're standing on the truth and standing on the word, you don't have to constantly regroup and change your mind and change your stand. Moses knew who he was. He got his identity straight. Now, I brought this out, I think, the last time I taught this. If you want to move on and you want to tackle the struggles of life, because that's what the next few verses talk about. If you want to accomplish great things and achieve goals and God's mission for your life, then you're going to have to find out who you are. If you don't know who you are, all the instruction in the world about how to win is not going to work for you. Because you win by confidence in who you are. And confidence in who you are comes from confidence in God, his power and his ability in you. It comes from knowing you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah, somebody. You've got to know who you are. And you say, well, it's too late. Well, Moses was 80 when he finally got it all straight. You got some hope here, okay? Yeah, but I've done this and I've done that. Well, come on. If you can't change the past, I'm talking about the future. We're not talking about the past. That's engraved in stone. Come on. I mean, what if you got saved last week? You got a bright future if you got saved last week. And that means everything you ever did is under the blood. How much more now after you're saved? Anybody ever sin after you got saved? Okay. I got an uh-huh, and somebody laughed. Okay. We've all sinned, but God forgives us if we go forward, if we forget it, if we repent of it, turn from it, and go forward. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. But you got to know who you are. You got to have you got to know who you are in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. In Christ. Not in the world, not in your race, the race that you are, not citizenship of the nation that you're in. Those are all, I understand they have a place. But if you're going to get healed, if you're going to get your prayers answered, if you're going to make a mark for God, then you need to know who you are in Christ. Because this is not a white gospel. And this is not a black gospel. And this is not a Hispanic gospel, Asian gospel, European gospel. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And I am a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, because I have been washed in the blood and born again, not because I was born in America or born in Australia or born white, black, Hispanic, or whatever. I am a Christian because I've been born again. Hallelujah. And that's who I am. Amen. So it says here in the 27th verse, after he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You and I have learned to endure things. There's a lot of things we should overcome. There's some things we just have to endure. Persecution is something you just got to endure. Reproach is something you have to endure. The mundane day by day, day in, day out, serving God sometimes is not always exciting. Are you with me? It's not always camp meeting every day. But we endure. We endure that. We endure anything that we have to give up for Christ. There are some things you give up for Christ. Are you with me? I think every day can be a blessed day. Don't get me wrong. I think every day is a good day in God. This is the day the Lord has made. But to say that there aren't challenges and there aren't endurance, you have to endure. You do have to endure things. I mean, that's what the scripture says. And the way you do that is the way Moses did. It says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So in light of everything, we look at God. In every situation, we look to the Lord. We, as Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Isn't that right? And so when we are, our strength begins to wane and the mundane begins to creep in and the boredom creeps in and, you know, the tiredness creeps in, we stop and go, wait a minute, I'm going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm going to look to him and I'm going to endure as seeing him who is invisible. God revealed himself to Moses before Moses went out and did what he did. It was after he got a vision of God that he began to go forward. After he had an encounter with God, he went forward. He even told God on one occasion, after they'd already come out of Egypt, after they'd already been delivered, he said, God, I need you with me. He said, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. And God said, I will go with you. And that's how he endured. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. We're not always conscious of God's presence, the fact that he's in us all the time. As 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, that tells you right there, you got the greater one in you. You can endure anything because the greater one is in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Woo! Are you with me? Get a picture of God being with you, in you, on your side. Old Testament, he was with them. New Testament, he's in us. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Therefore, glorify your God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, God's property. In other words, he redeemed you, paid for you, bought you with his blood. He lives and moves in you. And when you get there, he gets there. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So he's always with us and in us. In Moses' case, he said, I will be with you. He told Joshua in Joshua the first chapter the same thing. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Be strong and of good courage. I like that. And that's what he's talking about when he says endure here. In fact, over in 2 Timothy 2, third verse, I believe, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier. You and I are soldiers of the Lord, amen? And you and I have to learn to endure hardness. Now, that doesn't mean you become hard, as it were. We're compassionate, we're loving people, and caring people, and merciful people. But when sin comes, we're hard to it. It can't get through. You know, when you throw seed on the ground, if you threw it on a rock, it wouldn't get in because the ground's not tilled, not open for that seed. It just won't work. If you're planting seed, you go till the ground. That's what they do. They cultivate the ground. They plow it up. They till it, and they sometimes with a sod buster first, and they come back with a cultivating machine to cultivate it up, and I'm trying to think of the right word. And then they get the ground ready. Then they put the seed in to receive it. Well, what you don't need to be constantly wore down and constantly around sin and sinners so much that your ground is softened to sin. Are you with me? And that's what happened. See, and I think that's what the devil's idea on television shows, all the things that we hear nowadays, and some of the things we talk about politically and some of the things that we vote on. I think, 50 years ago, what are you talking about? What, or 20 years ago, 30 years ago? I mean, they're voting on gay marriage and making decisions in the Supreme Court. Who would even vote on something like that? Why would that even become an issue? That's not a gay. There's no gay marriage. There's no such thing as gay marriage. I mean, they can say all they want to and call it what they want to, but the Bible says that a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they two become one flesh, and that's what the Bible says marriage is. God defined marriage years ago. You know, there's no law that says men can't live together. It's unholy and immoral, and I'm against that in that sense as a sin. Are you with me? Not against those people. But there's no law that says they can't live together. Why do they have to say now we have to call it marriage when it's not marriage? That's not what marriage is. But we hear it so much, and we have, most of your popular shows have a token gay person on it or a sitcom or something. And so we're anesthetized to it, and we get to thinking it's okay and it's all right and it's no big deal. Some of them have talk shows now, and no reflection on people. God loves people, and we love people. We're not against people, but homosexuality is a sin. But see, we say that and we believe that, and yet we look at that and we watch these people, and little by little we're softened and say, well, it's not so bad. They're not so, what's the big deal? I believe it was Alexander Pope said, vice is a monster of so frightful a mien, but to be hated is yet to be seen, but seen too often. Familiar with her face, we first endure, then we pity, then we embrace. If we see it too often, we don't just endure. We begin to pity, and then we begin to embrace. See, don't hang around that. Don't put your face in front of that over and over and over. Learn to endure. Hardness is a good soldier. Are you with me? Are you out there? You need to, as a Christian, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you're going to have to learn to endure this Christian walk, this Christian life, this Christian faith, those Christian stands you and I make. People are going to make fun of you. Hey, they're going to make fun of me no matter what you do. So why not stand for the truth? Don't be hateful. Love people, but don't make compromises. Anything you compromise to keep, you're going to lose it. So he tells them to endure hardness in the case of Timothy. Paul tells Timothy that. And then, of course, God tells Moses, tells Joshua the same thing, that he's with them, and that's why they can overcome. We endure by seeing him who is invisible. And Isaiah, in fact, just hold your place there. Turn to Isaiah 41. I love this. Isaiah 41. Actually, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. You can follow along, though. Isaiah 41, verse 10, listen to this. It says, fear not, there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. See, there's our strength. Our strength comes from seeing him. Moses had a vision of Christ. He saw God. He saw him on the mount in that burning fiery bush. God appeared to him after that on many occasions. That was how he endured. That's how he made it. If you have an encounter with God and you have a clear vision of God, then you'll have a clear vision of who you are. You'll know who you are. You get your identity straight when you get his identity straight. Amen. First, love the Lord God with all your heart. Then love your neighbor as yourself. You love God first. You see God first. You understand him first. But then you get a revelation yourself of who you are. Woohoo! So he says, fear not. There's nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. And listen to this. And harden you to difficulties. Actually, the Hebrew word which says I'll strengthen you, I believe it's kasak. It's the same word where he told Joshua to be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord. It means to be hardened to difficulty. I like that. You know, when you say a man is a hard man, usually you mean he's got no compassion. He's unaffected by people around him. People have needs. People crying. He's mean. He's hard. He's unaffected by something. He's hard to people's needs, hard to that. Well, God doesn't want to make you that kind of hard. He wants to make you hard to difficulties, unaffected by temptation, unaffected by difficulties. When they come, you're hardened to difficulties. Just like a man would be hardened and unaffected by suffering, sighing, dying humanity and crying, screaming babies and needy people and walk by people and never have a bit of compassion. He's hard. He's completely unaffected by that. Well, God wants to make you that way to sin. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody. So how do we endure the difficulties of life? As seeing him who is invisible, because he is with me, we fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I'll harden you to difficulties. Man, that's better preaching. Y'all are amening. He said, I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my holy, victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Are you out there? That's how we overcome. We overcome by seeing him. That's how we get strength. That's how Moses made it. That's how you're going to make it. That's how you endure. It's because you got a vision of Christ, of Jesus, and what he means to you. And this is a new covenant teaching. He's not just with us. He's in us. Greater is he that's in us than he is in the world. And then he goes on and says this, 28th verse. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Everybody say kept. In this case, would just be he kept the commands of God. He kept the word of God. Now, you say, you know, I'd like to live for God or I'd like to keep the Word of God. Well, there's one way to do it. You just got to believe him. And if you believe God, you will keep the Word of God. You'll forgive, you'll love, you'll live holy, do all those things. In fact, when you're not serving God and you're not forgiving and you're not living right, it's because you're not trusting God. Because if you trust God, you can do it. Because it's through faith that you keep the Word of God. Are you out there? If you really believe that God means what he says, you'll do it tooth and nail. We don't see the benefit. We don't believe it's really going to work. We don't believe it's the best thing to do. We think we're smarter. And so we don't do what God says. We think it's too big a price to pay. We think we're going to miss out on something because we don't really trust what God says. And therefore, we say it's too difficult. We say it's too difficult because we really don't want to do it. Are you out there? And we don't believe it's the best thing. They don't deserve us to forgive them. They don't deserve us to be nice to them. They don't deserve us to pray for them. You know, all excuses in the world. But the bottom line is they do. Nobody deserves, period. You didn't deserve it. But God loves us anyway. And that's why he tells you to love people and forgive people, pray for people. He tells you to live holy and live right. Well, in this case, it may be just, you know, it may be just the mundane things of serving God. You know, read your Bible every day. You ought to do it. You ought to come to church. You ought to serve God. You ought to tithe. Everybody ought to tithe, you know. And maybe you got a million excuses why that you don't, or maybe you decided to do another way to do it besides what God says to do it. I'll give my time. You know, I've heard people say that. Well, I don't tithe, but I go down and I give my time. Well, that's not what he said. He said give money. Are you with me? You should give your time. I think that's good. But if everybody just gave their time, we'd close the doors of the church because the electric company doesn't want my time or your time. They want money. Hello. You have to pay bills. And, you know, when you buy food for the food bank to feed those poor people out there, it's not time that gets that food bought. It's not time that built that warehouse. It's not it's tithes. So on and so forth. But you say, well, at times are tough. How do you do that? Well, by faith, you keep it. You keep the promise. You keep the vow. You keep your commitments. You keep the commands. By faith, you keep the Passover. Oh, hallelujah. You become a doer of the word, not a hearer only. If you believe the word, you'll do the word. If you don't, you'll just hear it, not do it. And you know the one that's blessed is the one that does it. And then what James tells us, he says, the doer is blessed in his deed. Oh, glory. Well, look what happened. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. You need a miracle? You need a deliverance? Do what you know to do according to the word first. If you'll by faith obey God to the best of your ability, to the best you know and understand him, the best you know and understand his word, if you'll do what you know to do, if you'll keep that, if you'll be a person of integrity and character and by faith keep his word, then you will pass through the struggles and the challenges of life. Find out who you are first, obviously. Learn to refuse and choose, amen, esteem and value. And then, of course, you learn to endure by seeing him. This is how you begin to overcome, enduring by seeing him. And then by keeping his word, you begin to pass through. You know what happened? They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego passed through the fire without the smell of smoke on them. They passed the Red Sea and didn't even get wet. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived the fire and didn't get burnt. Not even the smell of smoke on them. And they did it because they kept God's command. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kept the command not to bow down. By faith, they kept the command. And because by faith they kept the command, they could by faith pass through the struggle of the fire furnace. Are you out there? Hey, challenge is coming. Struggle is coming. Don't you kid yourself. There's a devil out there and he hates you and your kids and everything about you. But if you'll keep God's word, you'll pass through the challenge that he throws at you. Hello. In fact, when the Egyptians tried to come through that Red Sea, you know what happened? They drowned. Because they weren't keepers of the covenant. They weren't doers of the word. You and I as Christians may go through all kinds of junk and mess and struggles and conflicts and obstacles in life. But the difference between us and the world is that we'll pass through things that will drown other people because we keep the word. And what takes others under, we go over. Are you out there? What burns other people up and destroys and fries them, as it were, that burning fire furnace, the only thing it will burn off us is the bondage and the ropes and the binding things of this life, the things that tear you up and tie you down and bind you up and keep you from serving God. If you'll keep God's word and if you'll stand on his word and keep the commitments you've made to him and do what he says to do, those things that tie you up and bind you will burn right off of you, and you'll not only survive the struggle and the pain, but you'll come out more free. Mm-hmm. You can survive things that will drown other people. Now, wouldn't you like to be there? I'd like to be there. Well, the faith of Moses is not a different faith that you and I. It's not an unattainable faith. It's the same faith you and I have. We'll just put it to work. We'll accomplish great things for God. We'll accomplish dreams and visions. We'll go through the fire, hallelujah, not be burned. Go through the water, not be drowned. Because the Lord is with us. Amen? And it comes down to refusing and choosing. Esteeming and forsaking, enduring and seeing, and keeping God's word and passing through.